Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Abbots Cross Congregational Church. Welcome to our worship service again. It's good to have you with us. Wherever you're listening from, wherever you happen to be at this time, maybe you're on holiday. I hope you're not in Spain because you'll have to go into social distancing for 2 weeks. But no matter where you are, you're always able to tune in with us here on a Sunday morning and on a Sunday evening. You're very welcome. It's good to have a few of the band with us, or you younger folk, and we're going to lead in worship in a few moments. But we welcome you to join with us in an attitude of prayer and praise and thanksgiving for our God, because nothing that has happened or happens in this world changes who our God is. We're going to gather around his throne. We're going to pray at this moment. So let's pray together, please. Father, we thank you for bringing us into this place. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather together, maybe not physically, but Lord, we can certainly gather spiritually. And we can gather in the Spirit around the throne of grace to sing the praises of him who loved us and gave himself for us. And we ask, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, as we minister in song and as we sing together, as we gather, Lord, around your feet to sing your praises. Lord, we pray that you'll motivate us. We pray that you'll animate us. Lord, we pray that you will help us as we seek to praise him, our great God. Thank you for the blessings that we received in this past week. And we ask, O God, that we in turn may bless you back again as we sing your praises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm glad to have with me this morning Rebecca Logan. She's on the keyboard. And we have Aaron Kirkpatrick. If he's not up there at the sound desk, he's over in the drums. He's not in the drums, he's in the box drum. Aaron Kirkpatrick. And then this is his sister beside me. This is Rebecca Kirkpatrick. And then that's Kate McCoy, who you will see later on as she does the children's talk. So let's sing together, and wherever you are, stand to your feet, and let's sing the praises. We're going to sing this in through twice. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Thanks, Aaron. Not perhaps that the sun is shining, which makes us glad, but not perhaps that things are going well for us in life, and that would make us glad, and I'm sure it does. But the fact is that when he died, he rose again from the dead. Now that makes me glad, to know that there's hope for the future, and there's help for the present, and there's grace for every trouble and trial. This is the day that the Lord has made, and he did separate us and call us to come together, come aside to worship and praise him on a specific day, to collectively come together. However, we can't do that as we are socially distanced, but we can certainly do it in our hearts. This is the day that the Lord has made, and one day there will be a day when we'll get back together and sing his praises. This is the day that the Lord has made.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
trust that you're rejoicing in what the Lord has done. What a doomy and what a gloomy day it would have been had it been for the fact that he said he'd rise again from the dead and he didn't come back from the dead and we had no evidence or proof. But there were 500 witnesses to the fact that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. There were 500 witnesses said, I heard him say that he will return again and he's coming back again. But meantime, he's with us. And that's what gives us this wondrous story, this great song. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left the realms of glory for the cross on Calvary. Wherever you are, let's really stand and sing together. Take the odd picture, perhaps, or video of yourself as you sing and worship together. Send them in to us. We promise, unless you give us permission, we won't show them. But it'd be good to have a little record of the different folks who've entered into worship and praise during this time. Was singing my heart out. I could hear Rebecca singing her heart out, and I trust that you are singing your heart out at home. And so it's good to know that he's with us and with us through every stage and age of life. Let's gather together around the throne of grace and let's pray together before we go any further in our service. We really want to know the Lord's help and we want to know the Lord's presence with us. We want to know his peace and his power amongst us. And so let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we've been recounting, it is a joy to enter into the presence of God. In thy presence there's fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's what your word says. And Lord, only those who have really experienced knows what they're talking about, knows what that means to enter into the joy of God's salvation, to be near to him who loved us and gave himself for us, to experience the touch of the divine as we gather together, as we mix and mingle, as we, Lord, respond to that great invitation, gather, draw near to God and he will draw near to thee. And Lord, what a day that was, a day whenever the cry went up, he's not here. He's risen indeed. And Lord, we thank you that death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, and up from the grave he arose. Lord, what a picture of salvation. Lord, that death couldn't keep the prey of sin and the fallen. Death couldn't hold us, those who would respond to the grace of God that calls us out of darkness into light. Lord, not only that, but you give us life. You give us light. You give us liberty. You give us freedom. Freedom to live, to learn, to walk with Jesus. Freedom to walk with him, to talk with him. Freedom to experience him in the spiritual realm. Lord, what life. What a description, Lord, of the believer's salvation. Lord, we would pray that that would be our experience, not only sometime in the past, but Lord, that would really truly be our experience on a daily basis. God grant that even now as we bow in your presence, Lord, that we might indeed truly sense and feel God, bringing life into our weary bones, as it were, as we look to and recount the great message of the gospel. Lord, it is a wondrous story. The wondrous story that Christ, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Son of Majesty, God himself would come down and bear away our sin, take upon himself our form, that we may become, he may be able to sympathize, be able to identify with each one of us. God in heaven, would you not come with these great truths and excite us and animate us in your presence today? For those at home who need a touch, to experience again God's touch upon their lives, we pray your blessing upon them. So we commit ourselves to you. We pray, God, that your Spirit will have freedom and free course in all of our lives, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to bring the announcements to you at this time. It is good to have you with us, and I trust that you will know the Lord's blessing. We want to send out our congratulations to Stephen Bailey and Valerie McKinty on the announcement of their engagement this past week, and we trust that they will know the Lord's blessing. It was great news, and we trust that they will know the blessing of God as they plan their future together, and so we trust that they will know God's grace. I have bad news for you. I want to start with the good news. Now, the bad news is we have been working furiously to try and get a location, a venue for our drive-in service this afternoon. We have not been successful in that. We won't be able to have one this Sunday, so we'll be broadcasting live from the church here again this evening at 5 o'clock. However, there is more encouraging news. I can't say for definite. I do know that we will have one place most definitely open to us, but there is another place we are hotly investigating, and we have received some encouraging signs of this possibility. So do please keep your ears tuned. Do pray that the place that I would believe the Lord have us in next will open to us, and we'll be able to have our drive-in service next Sunday. I will be back here again this evening then, bringing God's word, and we'll have the band, or at least most of them anyway, with us again this evening as we lift up God's praise. And then, as I say, next Sunday, I'll be here next Sunday morning, and then Andrew Cuthbert will be responsible for the evening service, whether it's a broadcast from here or drive-in, then you can just continue to listen to the announcements. Helen Phillips contacted me this past week to say thank you to all of those who've been praying for her as at the death of his brother or her brother, and he was buried during the week there, and so she appreciates everyone who has been in contact with her. And do please pray that next Sunday afternoon I will be away over in Tobermore doing a celebration, a mission, drive-in mission from Sunday to Sunday in Tobermore in the park there, and it'll be a drive-in mission. It was originally planned for April, but then the COVID-19 put a stop to all those plans, and so the organisers have been greatly involved in organising for the incoming week. So please remember us in prayer, and we have different folk taking part every night in Tobermore next Sunday at 3:30 and then weeknights at 8 o'clock, and we'd greatly value prayer. Well, Kate McCoy has done another little children's talk, and I'm glad for that. There are others who have done them, and we'll be showing them in the weeks that lie ahead. And so Kate's going to share with us this little talk. This is, and I like it, and I love it, and I like the very end of it, and it'll give you a wee smile. And so enjoy it, but boys and girls, make sure you learn from it. Thank you very much, Gary.
Hello, boys and girls. It is so lovely that you're all watching church this morning. Now, I have a very special friend with me today, so I hope you're all sitting really good because he really wants to help with the lesson. Joel, if you sit back a wee bit, they'll all see you better. That's better now. So this is my very special friend, Joel. And I'm going to tell you a bit of a secret about Joel. Joel really, really, really loves a biscuit, don't you? He loves every type of biscuit that you can think of. But his favourite type of biscuit is a Jammy Dodger. And I need you to hold the Jammy Dodger, Joel, so that all the boys and girls can hear about the story, okay? You're going to hold it in your mouth. You can't eat it yet. Okay. You hold it in your mouth, but don't break it, okay? There you go. Now, boys and girls, if Joel comes a little closer to the camera, you'll all see the big jammy heart in the middle. And not only is that really, really tasty, but it actually reminds us that as Christians, we have God's love in the centre of our lives. Because when we pray and ask him to forgive us for our sins, which is all the bad things that we think, that we say, and that we do that break God's laws, he comes into our hearts and he forgives us for them. And he brings us into his family. But that's not the only thing. If Joel goes a bit closer again, you'll all see the big messy splat around the jam. Well, that reminds me that sometimes life can get a bit messy. And that even as Christians, we can make mistakes too. And sometimes there's things that happen in life that we just don't have any control over. And we may be wondering why they're even happening. And I don't know if you've ever felt like that, but I definitely have. But even though there's this big messy splat around the outside, we have to remember about the jam in the middle, which is Christ's love at the centre of our lives. And when we do make mistakes, he'll forgive us if we ask him to. And even when life seems a bit messy, God is still with you in it and ready to help you through it. There's a Bible verse found in Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10, and it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So this is a promise in the Bible that God makes. And there's a really cool thing about God's promises. He never breaks one. I know, isn't that really cool, Joe? So that means whenever God tells us that he will never leave us, he really will never leave us. And when he says that he wants to help us and give us strength, he really does want to do this. And even though life can be a bit messy sometimes, and even when we make mistakes, God promises to forgive us for them if we ask him. And he promises that he will never leave you to do those messy parts of life alone. But maybe you don't have Jesus in your life, and maybe you're wondering how you can. Well, if you look really closely at the top corner, there's a little J and a little D, and you'll maybe figure out that that means Jammy Dodger. But it can also mean that Jesus died. You see, Jesus came to earth to die on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. Jesus paid the debt for our sins that we could never pay back ourselves, so that we just need to pray and ask him for forgiveness for our sins, and ask him to come into our hearts, and that he would help us to follow and live for him. And maybe you would like to ask Jesus into your heart today. We can actually do that right now. Or maybe there's someone around you that you know is a Christian, and they can maybe help you through that too. But maybe you're already a Christian. Well, I have a little challenge for you. You can see this big jam heart in the middle, but I wonder, can other people see Jesus in your life, in how you talk and act? And maybe you could think of a way that you could show someone else that you know a bit of Jesus' love this week. And maybe you could even tell them about Joel's favourite type of biscuit. Well, thank you so much, boys and girls, for listening. And I can't wait to see you all again soon. Bye!
Yeah, I knew that would be a surprise. Thank you very much, Kate. Thank you very much for the story, for the message as well. That we need the Lord Jesus in our lives and in our hearts. We need to build your life around him and his truth and his love. We're going to sing that little song. Rebecca's going to come up here beside me. I was going to ask her to do the actions. Maybe she can, maybe she can't. I don't know. No, sing with us. I don't think they can see you because the words are going to be there. But anyway, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house. The wise man built his house upon the rock.
Really?
we sing our next song, just before we have the message, there are a number of people who would value our prayers, and we're going to pray for them just now. Alan Hicks, as he heads into hospital tomorrow, he's going to have another procedure on Tuesday. And so do please remember Alan and uphold him in your prayers. And over the weekend there, on Friday, Bobby Snoddy was taken into hospital. I think he got home 12 o'clock that night. And let's really pray for Bobby with all the pain that he's experiencing, that he will know the Lord's touch. And then Adrian Bennington rang me yesterday to say he was on his way into the hospital. Adrian wasn't feeling very well. So please remember Adrian as he combats his heart problems and also his cancer issues as well. Please don't remember, don't forget all others that we've been praying for. Ian Cameron and Ed Hamilton texted me to say that his brother David was taken very unwell and he's in hospital, and so we want to remember him in prayer. So let's bow together in prayer. These and many other issues I'm sure you'll have been praying for, but let's remember them all in prayer at this time. Father, we thank you that we can lift up those who are ill, those who are sick, those who need a touch from God. And we can lift up each one to you who is the great physician. And we remember Alan, and we remember Bobby, remember Adrian, remember Ed's brother David, remember Anne Bissett's brother David as well, and others, Lord, that come to mind for Adrian and others. We ask, Lord, that you will graciously draw near to each and every one. And may they know, Lord, the power of God's healing touch upon their bodies today. We want to thank you, Lord, this past week for your mercies, for your faithfulness, for your patience, for your comfort and for your grace. We thank you that you are a God of all of these and much more. You're a God of great comfort, all comfort. You're a God of great grace. You're a God of long suffering and patience. Lord, you're faithful, as Kate mentioned during our wee talk. We thank you for your mercies new every morning. We truly serve a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And dear Father, for those that we've been praying for, those that we're thinking about, we think of homes that have been traumatized this last past week with tragedy in their homes and loved ones. Lord, we pray that you'll meet the need of each one. Remember, Lord, our land in this time of pandemic, Lord, as we seek to observe recommendations and yet be faithful to the Lord. Lord, give us grace in all of these circumstances, we pray. So, Lord, we ask that you'll meet our need. Grant, O God, that we might know liberty and freedom as we say, as we look into your word in a few moments. We ask, Lord, that you will come close, speak to us through your word. As we look at the tears of Job today, may those tears that Job shed teach us a truth and enable us to be faithful, even when our hearts are breaking. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of my favorite songs that we've learned of late has been My Troubled Soul, Why Soul Weighed Down. You are not made to bear this heavy load. No, Jesus says, casting all your care upon him. God's word says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth upon you, careth for you. It also says, Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We ought not to be carrying our burdens. We ought to bring them to him, and he will help us bear the burden as he comes with comfort and care.
Upon the Lord, Jesus cares, he
that is absolutely true, that our lives are in his hands. When you place your life into the hands of the Lord, he cares for you, he watches over you, he meets your every need. He is the one who sticks closer than a brother. He's a wonderful Savior. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And maybe you feel forsaken. Maybe you feel lonely and alone. Maybe you feel perhaps that you can't sense the Lord with you. Well, no matter how you feel, he's still with you. He never leaves you and he never forsakes you. I thought that this Sunday would be my last Sunday in Job. But then I got another little text. Well, what about this little text? Actually, it's a passage of Scripture we've already preached from, but we didn't focus in on one particular aspect. And so I have a message that's been prepared for 3 weeks that I haven't got preaching it yet, and it'll probably be next Sunday morning as we come to the conclusion of Job. But we are turning to Job chapter 16. We're slightly departing from message in that. We're just looking at tears and our tears and God's reaction to our tears. But we're looking in Job chapter 16. And I am sure, I am absolutely certain, if there is one subject that touches everyone, it's the subject of tears. Tears. We've all shed tears. We all know what it means to shed tears. And we will look into it in a few moments. If you've got God's word, then it's Job chapter 16. And reading from verse 16 down to the end of the chapter. If you've got a portion of God's word, remember, this is God's word. It's the most vital, most important, most precious book that you have. It ought to be your prized possession. Let's read together from Job chapter 16 and verse 16. My face is flushed, is the word there. My face is flushed from weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. I was walking up one of the streets recently, quite a built-up area, and there came this fella, and he came walking down, and his eyes were black. He hadn't been in a fight. It wasn't as if it was a bruise, but he was all black around his eyes. And I thought, there, someone's either been weeping or there's something wrong. There was just a flushedness. There was a darkness around his eyes. And many's a person, I'm sure you know, that has been weeping so terribly that it has affected even their physical appearance. That's how Job looked. My face is flushed with weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Not for any injustice in mine hands. Also my prayer is pure. O earth, cover not thou my blood. Let my face have no place. Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. My friends scorn me, but my eyes pour out tears unceasingly unto God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. Whenever Job speaks there about his eyes is full of tears. It says there, but my eye poureth out tears unto the Lord. The word there is to melt. Here's a man who's saying that he's really melted emotionally. He's become so distraught emotionally that his face is filled with tears on a daily basis. Job was a broken man. Job was a broken man. There are times when he said things, thought things, wished things, felt things, and imagined things that were mere reactions to his broken heart. And I've said before that whenever a person is in that place, we do well not to take too much stock of what they say. Don't assess them. Don't judge them. Don't condemn them. Rather, throw a loving arm around them and just be there for them. Be a listening ear, a shoulder to cry on, and comforting arm right around them, or a prayer warrior for them. Oftentimes we get the idea that Job wasn't an emotional character, that he wasn't broken. We get that because of things that he said in chapter 2 and verse 10 when his wife was saying to him, curse God and die. Job says, said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive the good? Receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not we receive evil? In all this did Job not sin against the Lord. Here's a man standing strong, it seems, even against the most fierce and most personal of attacks on his life. Or another time in Job chapter 13 and 15, or Job chapter 19, verse 25. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. When my faith has been tried in the fire, shall come forth as gold. When he said such powerful, personal things of his unrelenting, determined faith in God, we tend to think that Job didn't have any emotions, was not disturbed, was not heartbroken. Not only that, but as he went through this traumatic time, it almost seemed as if the Lord didn't make any effort to bring any comfort to him. And when we think of comfort from the Almighty, we often think that he would come to us personally, that he would have come to Job personally, to personally dry his tears, to physically hold his hand. But Job will tell you, and we learn from that, it was his knowledge of God that helped him through. That's an interesting subject. That's an interesting study for us, to realize that it's the knowledge of God helps us through circumstances. Let me quote a few verses to you. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Ephesians 1 in the New Testament, verse 17, that the fear of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. 2 Peter 1 and verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us from glory by glory and virtue. So it's the knowledge of who God is. It is our knowledge of God, knowing who he is, his loving, caring, sympathetic, gracious, and kind nature. That's what brings us comfort, knowing that he allows things, and if he has allowed things, then it has had to come through him first. And he's caring, and he's merciful, he's patient, and he's long-suffering. It's that knowledge that keeps me in the most difficult of times, knowing, well, God's allowing this for a reason, but he's not punishing me for something that I'm not guilty of. Many of us will not have experienced what Job experienced, but will have experienced tears. It's not hard to bring tears to our eyes. You know, the first mention of tears in the Bible was in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5. King Hezekiah was sick and he cried unto the Lord. And it says in 2 Kings chapter 20, the Lord saw his tears and stayed the hand of death and added years to his life. And the very last mention of tears is in Revelation chapter 21, a more happy and more joyful verse. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. God either sends our tears or he dries our tears. And from 2 Kings chapter 20 to Revelation chapter 21, we have the record of multitude of tears that have been shed and tears that are still flowing today. We also have a record, though, in the midst of those tears of a loving God, like a tender father wiping away our tears, who will attend to every tear that drops from our eyes. You know, the shedding of tears is something that's peculiar and unique to human beings. We have the ability to laugh and we have the ability to cry. Physiologically, we have glands that produce tears. But in our emotional state, we also produce more tears. Tears of the heart. The hottest tears are those that flow, are not those that come from a mother feels the pain of giving birth. The hottest tears comes when that which she has given birth will break her heart in years to come. Tears are the eruption of the deepest feelings of the heart. Tears are the portrait of our deepest longings. Let me give you a little study that someone has done. If 2 billion people shed 50 tears a year for the last 2,000 years, now I wouldn't have the ability to do the maths. I'm sure some of these young folk here are looking in front of me, they'll have the ability. They say that that would be sufficient water to float a barge for 3,000 miles. If just 2 billion people shed 50 tears a year for the last 2,000 years, it would be sufficient to fill a canal that would float a barge for 3,000 miles. Think of the rivers of tears that have been flowing from the beginning of time. Tears of broken hearts, shattered dreams, ruined homes. And of course there have been tears of joy as well. It says in Psalm 56 and verse 8, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book?" The psalmist is teaching us, as Job teaches us, that God visits us during the times of suffering, sorrow, hurt, and distress. He sees our tears and the tears of the sufferer, and not one tear, I find that amazing, not one tear goes unnoticed. And there might be those at home who've shed tears over this pandemic, over this 4 months, and no one knows anything about it. And perhaps you are just longing that someone would be able to come and comfort you. I want to tell you that not one tear that you've dropped, but God knows all about it. Not one tear. Not one tear. The psalmist teaches God visits us during the times of suffering, sorrow, hurt, and distress. He sees the tears of the sufferer. Not one tear goes unnoticed. George Haddon Spurgeon wrote, "So precious is the water that is distilled from penitent eyes. And because he will be sure not to feel, he notes how many drops there is in his register." I like the way Spurgeon phrases that. The psalmist emphasizes that our tears are recorded in a book, and that's likely the book of Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, the book of remembrance. To the average person, a tear is but a tear. We see no difference between two drops of tears and two drops of water, but whenever God puts it into his little microscope, what a difference it makes. God's got a tear cellar. And the fact that God records our tears is not that God will forget our tears. He wants us to know that he records our tears. So we are absolutely sure that we know that every hurt, every pain, every psychological pain, every physical pain, every tear that flows from our lives, God knows all about it. He stores it up. Just to remind you that he is so loving, so kind, and so good. Tears are a language that God understands. Whether you know it or not, God sees you in your good times and he also sees you in your bad times, and he remembers you and records your tears when you think of him, when you think on him, because you need to close in with him. So I have three things that I'm going to say about tears today, as we think of tears and the record of them and how God ministers to us in the midst of them and what God does with those tears if we're honest and open before him. This might be disappointing to you, but here's the first thing. There will be tears that we will all shed. There will be tears. Without question, there will be tears. Tears of physical pain. Many times I've seen a child fall and cut his knee and instantly erupts in tears. Many times I pick up little Harriet or have picked her up in the past and she was crying and couldn't tell what she was crying about. And sometimes people are crying, they don't know what they're crying about. Some people are just crybabies. Tears of teething pains, growing pains, accidental pains, physical pain. I'd be very surprised if someone that's listening to these words wouldn't have at some stage experienced wet tears purely because of pain, physical pain. But not only that, because there's lots more. There's tears of emotional pain. The teenager struggling to be socially accepted. The broken relationship. The young man left out of the team. Think of the man working to take care of his family. Esther and I were out yesterday and we met two folks belonging to this church, and they've been both told that both of their jobs are on the line. Both of them, husband and wife, with a family to care for. I'm sure there'll be tears. Listen, if you're at home and your security and your job and your life is secure, you thank God for that, because there are many who are at this moment of time shedding tears because of the uncertain future regarding their work. My own son's one of them. Think of the parents who took time to influence their children, and as they grew up, they became influenced with the world, and then they went wayward. And there are many belonging to this church, and they're in that category, and you wept tears. Think of the son or a daughter who suddenly lost both parents. How many times over this COVID-19 have we heard of people who've lost both of their parents and weren't able to attend their funerals? That has to be one of the most difficult things for anyone to face. They can't say goodbye to them when they're sick, and they can't even say goodbye to them whenever they're being buried. What tears! Think of the husband and wife who've lost, or husband or wife who've lost their spouse. My dear friends, there are going to be tears. These are tears that are deeply rooted in the soul. These are tears that are not caused by, there are tears that are caused by physical pain, but there's also heartache pains that are caused by emotional heartbreak. And for all the will in the world, any physician cannot treat sorrows and emotion and pains with pills and tablets, nor can philosophers philosophize us out of our tears. Doctors cannot treat us for a broken heart or the feared news of disease. There's the tears of despair. A person's courage is gone. Their last chance has just slipped through their fingers, and I use that word chance with license. They have struggled so bravely and courageously. Now everything crumbles, and it seems if there's no way out, there's no other way, that no other recourse, and they're just in despair. How many people do we know have shed tears of despair? What about the tears of regret? I wish I'd done it different. I wish I'd been different. I wish I'd treated that person differently. I wish I hadn't made that decision. I wish I had awakened up and smelled the coffee whenever people were telling me all that advice. The tears of regret. What about the tears of frustration? It might be that you have this desire to go and do something. You want to see something done. But it almost seems as if you're trying to push water up a hill. And you get frustrated and you weep before the Lord because your heart is in a different place. Just like Caleb and Joshua. Imagine going through the wilderness for 40 years, even though their hearts were already in the promised land. How many tears must they have they shed as they wanted to be where God wanted them to be? That teaches us that any church or fellowship can only move as fast as the slowest person in it. Tears of depression. I don't understand depression. I know what it is to have an emotional low. I don't understand, and I sympathize, and I will not dare ever point the finger at someone who says they are depressed, and I'll not say that's because of sin, because I don't believe that. But there are tears that are shed in depression. We don't understand why we feel the way we feel, why we don't want to meet people, why we want to run away and hide and don't want to be involved in life and think all sorts of strange things. There are tears of depression filling our land, even at this moment of time. You just talk to the doctors, you talk to the medical profession, and they will tell you that emotional and psychological suffering is on the upsurge at the moment, worse than a tsunami. Children abuse at home, on the increase, it's an epidemic proportions. Tears of depression, tears of bereavement. Who of us hasn't shed tears? I think of those in our wee church. Tears that will be shed. And Saturday coming, we wish Judith Reed and Trevor all the best as they tie the knot and they promise each other as they walk up the aisle on a socially distanced, difficult church circumstances in these days. And this was great joy. And I can remember back whenever Esther walked up the aisle and her and I exchanged vows, and it must have worked because we're still together. But there will be the tears one day when one passes. We find it difficult to accept. Tears of bereavement. It says in Ecclesiastes 3 verses 1 to 4, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven, a time to weep and a time to laugh. And then there's tears of rejoicing. I'm sure there have been tears of rejoicing. Times when your heart was so filled with happiness that it just bubbled out. And tears ran down as you saw something accomplished or something achieved. You heard of someone who had come to faith in Christ or someone who was delivered from the ashes of despair and destruction. And tears ran down your cheeks with joy or pride whenever a youngster succeeded in doing something. And I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with being encouraged to see your family achieve and accomplish that which perhaps you weren't able to do yourself. Their tears. I simply make the point that there will be tears that will be shed. There are tears that will be shed. Every one of us will experience them very quickly. There are tears that should be shed. When I think of tears that will flow until this world is no more, I think of the tears that need to flow. I think there ought to be, and in case you haven't embraced it yet, and so I was speaking with some folk yesterday, and they're fearful now because they do not see people repenting and seeking and turning to God in the way and in the fervency with they thought they would. There ought to be tears shed over our spiritual condition. We're not excited about God anymore. When's the last time we wept for joy as we worshiped the Lord? Well, you should have been here whenever we were practicing. We weren't exactly weeping, but we were enjoying our practice, weren't we? And I'm looking forward to this one this evening. When was the last time we were exuberant? When was the last time we shed tears of joy over hearing of some soul getting saved? Whenever you think of the reaction in heaven, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Sorry, Gary, I'll try and stay in the one place here. Over one sinner that repents. And yet we just take it as matter of fact. Oh, well, we'll see how long they last. Well, if you don't expect them to last, then how are they going to last? What are you going to do to help them and encourage them, even if you see them falling? There should be tears of joy as we ponder what the Lord has done. I love that little song. My Jesus, I love thee. I know. I seldom sing that song without a tear, at least. Maybe not run down my cheeks. I'm not the most emotional of people, but I tell you, I am really emotional in my heart. And I know this, whenever I sing that song, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures. For thee, imagine that commitment, that dedication. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. Written by a 16-year-old. We're nowhere there, are we? We're not near there, are we? Why are we not weeping for joy? Have we become familiar? A kind of almost like, well, matter of fact, take it or leave it. Well, that's blessing, but I'm getting more blessing in the world. And from what we see from the people that's criticizing the government, we're looking to the government more than we're looking to the Lord. Tears of joy. As we ponder over what the Lord has done, is there no thrill? All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Should there not be tears as we think of how indifferent we've become as we view the Lord? We hear, but we don't heed. We understand, but we don't implement. We know, but we don't show. Have we lost the motivation of our salvation? Is there not a will to serve anymore? Ought there not to be tears as we sense a distance between us and the Lord? I don't know how many miles I've done this past week. Just trying to get a place for the drive-in. And one of the particular locations, we sent emails, and I know Andrew's been working feverishly as well, and we sent emails and we left phone messages and got nothing in response. So I went to one of the buildings and I walked up and I was standing outside and there was a phone number, and then I got talking to a man and he came out and he met me outside in the building, which I'm hopeful for, pray for, I'm not going to say where it is at the moment, and I'm meeting the manager on Thursday. Not so that we might just have a meeting, but we want to serve the body of Christ. I want to see the body of Christ encouraged and enthused and grow and coming together in some form or fashion, because this is not normal. Jesus said in the last days there will be many Christians who will attend church but will be neither hot nor cold. Revelation 3 and 15, because you're neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. I want to be hot for God. I don't know about you. I would rather burn out than rust out. We should all want to develop a close relationship with the Lord. And I want to tell you, God does not expect perfection. God only expects faithfulness. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with every capacity God has given you, you do it. With all your mind, let your fix stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. That's where we get rest. There are many more should bring tears to our eyes that I'm not going to mention, but Peter wept when he denied the Lord. He wept bitterly. Oh, I think we should weep tears for the spiritual condition of our own hearts and the heart of our and the state of our land. Tears should be shed for straying loved ones. Hannah wept before the Lord for a child. Rachel cried out before the Lord and said, give me a child or give me children or I die. These are women who cried and pleaded with God for children. Our Lord wept over the condition of Jerusalem. Jesus had compassion for the people. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. In fact, it says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 and verse 36, it says this. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion. And another version said his bowels of compassion were greatly distressed because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, and notice is in that context, he said that the harvest is plentiful. What was plentiful? When he saw the harassment and the heartache and the anxiety of the people, he says, now the harvest is truly plenteous. Whenever he sees a people who are distressed and who are anxious and fearful, he identifies that as the harvest. The harvest. Many in this church are praying for their children to get back with the Lord, and that's right. Are we shedding tears? Are we so moved and disturbed? Here's what the psalmist said in Psalm 126. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We need to pray and so shed tears. Ask God to so impact our hearts. And I'm not only talking about your natural born children. I'm talking about the children of the church. I'm talking about those who once seemingly were burning bright for the Lord, but now we read in Facebook and we read in all sorts of multimedia of how far they've fallen. Does it not disturb us? I was saying to the young folk, you know, whenever I'm at Esther and I are in nappies, they come and visit us up in Moira. And I says, because we don't just drop our friendships even if we move location. Nor should we, just because we don't see people sitting in seats, that we forget them. We should plead and pray for those who once walked and are not walking anymore in such a way as we are impacted in our hearts emotionally. Shedding tears as we're moved by God. Oh, we should shed tears for straying loved ones. I'll tell you what else we should be shedding tears for. We should be shedding tears of forgiveness towards someone who's offended us. I'm going to tell you, folks, and listen to me now, if you haven't listened to another word I've said, and I'm going to stare you straight in the eye. I can't look at this bunch of young fellas, but they're watching me. If there's anything that has destroyed the work of God, it's grudges that are held between believers. Unforgiveness. Oh, and he said this, and she said that, and he did this, and he did that, and they went here, and they went there, and we take offense. You have no right to take offense. You choose to take offense. There are too many grudges that harbor and remain in the hearts of God's people. Are there people in your life that you will not forgive? You need tears of forgiveness. Let me read you in our wee prayer update. I sent out a wee message from Mark chapter 11. And actually, I quoted in the wee prayer group Mark chapter 12, and there's one or two people caught it on. But it was actually Mark chapter 11. And I want you to hear this, because in the context of answered prayer, forgiveness is an essential element. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Isn't it interesting that he in one breath says we are to believe, and another breath he says we have to forgive. And it would seem to me that you can believe all you like, but if you've got that pestilence, that ugly giant of unforgiveness in your heart, you can believe all you like. Your sin has hid his face from you that he cannot hear. The arm of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot see, if neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sin has hid his face from you, says Isaiah. Our forgiveness. Oh, can I counsel you today, whoever you are? You need not necessarily attend this church, wherever you're listening from. Can I say the key element to seeing prayers answered is the forgiveness of those things that the enemy has used to break down relationships within churches? We need to shed tears. Could it be that something in my life would be hindering the work of God? I know God's sovereign. I know God's mighty and he's all-powerful. But I do know this, that there is a condition, and that condition is forgiveness. Think of the tears that should be shed. Now I come to the encouraging, inspiring part of this message. I want to think for a wee moment of the tears that will no longer be shed. See, whenever you get to Job chapter 1, 41 and 42, we see these tears have been well dried up. It says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. In fact, I was speaking to someone this week, and I was talking, sharing with them what I was going to be speaking on this Sunday, and they said, that was my text for the day. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Isn't that wonderful? Think of the tears that will no longer be shed. Tears that are shed make us willing, I have often said this, make us willing to leave this valley of the shadow of death and go home to be with Jesus. If there were no troubles, if there were no sorrows, if there were no hurts, if there were no separation, if there was no death, then we would be perfectly content here now. But tears make us long for our heavenly home and to see what a greeting. To have our Heavenly Father dry away those tears when we plant our feet on those golden streets. But the tears that have been shed, the tears that will be shed by a child of God, remind us that one day, think of this now, one day all sorrow, all suffering, all sickness, all sadness, and all separation will be over. Many of you have lost loved ones over this last 4 months, in fact, this last 12 months. lost your job, those tears that I spoke about at the beginning will all pass away. God will take his children and wipe away every tear from their eyes. This will mean the past, our past, will be behind us forever. All will be well. All will be healthy. Death will flee and there will be no more need for tears. There will come a day when we will never hurt. We will never fear. We will never fall. We will never hate and we will never be hurt. We'll never worry and we'll never hear of an unkind word. We'll never hear God's name in vain and we'll never hear about war and we will never grow old. I'm looking forward to that. Imagine being 33 for eternity. Isn't that lovely? When we shall see him, we shall be like him. We'll never grow old. We'll never have to visit a nursing home. We will never have to make funeral arrangements. We will never have to go and see the doctor. We will never have to go and see a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And we will never be touched with cancer. Think of it. The psalmist said, weeping may endure for a night. Psalm 30 and verse 5. Throughout the scriptures, as Job has said, mine eyes poureth out tears. Psalm 42 verse 3 says, tears have been my meat. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 1 says, oh, that mine eyes were a fountain of tears. Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 2, her tears are on her cheeks. Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 11, mine eyes do fail with tears. 2 Timothy 1 and 4 says, being mindful of my tears. But here's what the psalmist said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. And it certainly did for Job. It certainly did for Job. God restored, we'll learn that next Sunday. God restored to him everything. As many sons he had lost, or as many animals and whatever he had lost, many children he had lost, they were restored to him again. Mrs. Job stuck with him, by the way. But for the soul that rejects God, the soul that avoids God, there will be no unabated, undiluted, uncomforted tears. Tears of remorse, tears of regret, tears of remembrance, tears of horror, tears of pain, mental tears, psychological pain, physical tears, emotional tears. No tears will be wiped away. No comfort will be applied or offered. It's a world without the comforter. My tears. I wonder, have you shed tears? Have that been the predominant aspect of your life over this COVID-19 pandemic, lockdown, whatever you like to call it? Well, one day he will wipe away all tears. Just allow him to wipe those tears today as you trust in him. Let's shed some tears for our spiritual condition and spiritual situation. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we pray that as we think of Job's tears, Lord, we know, as we will see next Sunday, you certainly wiped away all his tears. You certainly intervened in his situation. You certainly met him at the point of his need. You certainly restored to him the years that the locusts have eaten. You certainly came to him and restored his health. Lord, his wealth became more than what he first lost. Lord, you restored to him his children. Lord, you restored to him his animals. You restored to him his joy. You restored to him his position. Lord, you do to it. Wipe away all tears. Oh God, give us hearts that are moved by the spiritual condition of our land. Give us hearts that are moved by the situation and we're facing spiritually. And God grant that we might see answer to prayer, answer to the situation we find ourselves in. Bless those at home, Lord, who are perhaps needing your touch just now. Meet their every need. Grant them thy peace and thy presence, we ask. Undertake, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song together. It's there is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, and no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore. I'm sure this song, if nothing else, would have ministered to you. This little song will minister to your heart. There is coming a day. Key. Gee, I was playing in A. Let's start that again. Sorry, Rebecca. I'm not afraid to say I was wrong. Sorry, Rebecca. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the help of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide and remain with us now and until Jesus comes or calls. In His name we pray. Amen. Just one announcement that I did forget to make, and I just thought of it just coming towards the end of the service there, is next Lord's Day will be the first Sunday in August, and so therefore we will be having communion in the morning service. So do please be prepared and ready. Next Sunday morning we'll have communion here in the church, junior service, as usual, at 11:30. Thank you very much. God bless.